far be it for me to want to embarrass anybody, but would like for our guest from Guyana, I'm not going to call you up, but if you just kind of stand up where you're at, Mike and Sahid, you'll be coming up in a little bit. But just want to introduce our friends. This is Pastor Sahid and his wife Joyce, and they were such a blessing to us as we stayed there. And then on this side we have Mike and Baby and little Mike, and let me think if I think it's Daisy and Cleo. Did I get it right or did I get it backwards? Okay, I got it backwards. And then in the back we have Melinda, and I think there's Lisa back there as well. She's downstairs. But these are our friends from Guyana that I call it a privilege to name them as friends, and they've just been such a blessing. You may be seated. I just wanted everybody that if you have an opportunity to welcome them and speak with them, it'd be great. We are having a fellowship dinner afterwards, and that'll give you an opportunity to talk with them if you are coming to that. If you weren't planning on coming to it, come anyway. But we would like to just have a little bit of a work and witness presentation for you. I'm going to ask Snook if you'll come up. And as he comes up, he's going to share a little bit. Then I'll ask Mike and Sahid to come up after that as well to share.
Morning. I'm excited to be here this morning. And like Scott said, these people from Guyana are their friends. And I'm telling you what, I met them all Friday night. And they're my friends, too. They're my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I appreciate the fact that they can come and visit with us. And the fact that these guys, this first trip, mission trip that I didn't get to go on, and they went to Guyana and got a good connection there. And we praise the Lord for that. And what we're going to do is we're showing some slides here. These are, as near as we can figure, everybody that's went on a mission trip, as far as with work and witness, not the teens or anything, but we are had a good time compiling all this. I had to go back and get ones from like 10 years ago, and boy, it took some time because I had to look at every picture and every job, and it was great, though. But I think the main thing that I want to say about work and witness this morning is what it's doing, it's connecting people from all over the world, and it makes us realize, and those around us, that the church doesn't end at that sidewalk on the alley and that sidewalk on Maple Market Street. But the church is all over the world, and it's so great to be able to go and meet other people, other cultures, and worship in their churches with them together. And boy, they sure need the help, and we sure get the blessing too. And it's just been really fantastic, and I've really enjoyed being part of it. And I would just thank you all for all the help and all the prayers that you've given over the years for what we're doing. So I'm going to turn it back over to Scott so he can get these two fellows up and introduce them. Thanks.
Some of the pictures show us working, but a lot of them show us just having fun. We absolutely have a riot on our trips. I was speaking just a while ago. It's kind of, sometimes you feel guilty. You shouldn't have this much fun, right? Serving the Lord's supposed to be dull and boring. Boy, it's anything but. Some of the highlights of my life have been on these trips. So pay attention to the sermon today. Got the privilege of hearing it once, but you guys are in for a great treat as Sahid shares. But I'm going to ask Sahid and Mike if they'll come up and just share for a moment or two on Guyana. I think once we get through these pictures, there may be a couple slides of what we're going to actually be doing down in Guyana, and I'll just let you speak for a moment if whatever's on your heart as well.
Thank you very much, Brother Scott, and I greet you in the precious name of Jesus. As you have heard, we are from Guyana, and last year, this team from this church went down to Guyana, and we were so blessed to have them. They did a lot of work on our district center, and then myself and Mike, we took them up to Orialla so that they can visit another project. Their trip to Orialla was exciting, but meeting the people of Orialla and seeing what is happening there, I know have touched their hearts tremendously. And since they have gone there, they have not seen. Every time we spoke, it was always about going back there to help. And you will have seen a picture of the Uriala project that they have undertaken. That's it right there. That building, the one that is side, the little one that you're barely seeing, is the church. And it can't accommodate the people. And normally, we have services under that benab. But the wind out there is so strong because that church is situated on a cliff that is 140 feet up in the air. And the wind coming up the river would just tear off those palm leaves on top there. And so you cannot keep service there on a regular basis because you don't know when rain is going to come or what. So we have spoken to the team leaders, and we are glad that they have earmarked this project for next year. We're looking forward to the time when they can come to help us to set this building in order. And we really appreciate what you have done and what you will continue to do for us, not only in Guyana, but for other parts of the world, because I consider missions and mission trips as all part of our ministry. And so I want to thank you very much.
Good morning, church. It's a privilege to be here once again. This morning I feel I have the double blessings because I'm now in the second service for the morning, and I'm happy to be with you wonderful people. I'm the pastor of New Amsterdam Church of Nazarene. So on behalf of the Burbage District, I bring greetings to you wonderful people. I have the privilege to meet with your group, Mr. Scott, Tim Carr, and his family. And the moment I entered into Pennsylvania, I feel loved. I feel welcome. I appreciate your hospitality, your wonderful food, and the way you have treated us. And that's, I'm sensing what heaven will be like. And the most important thing is that we love people, because God died for us. He demonstrated love on the cross. And when we are fellowshipping people, we must do it sincerely. Love is important with our family, with our children, with our community, and also with our church. If you all can show sincere love, then our life and order will be a wonderful place. Once again, I want to say thanks to Scott and the family who's taking care of us here in Pennsylvania. I feel at home. I feel blessed. And those of you who will be going to Guyana, I have a warm welcome for you. Water coconuts, lots of fresh fruits, nothing preserved, water rides, boat rides. Anything you would like to have, we have the accommodation for you. So thank you very much, and I'm pleased to be with you this morning.
As I mentioned earlier, it was a privilege to hear the sermon that Brother Saheed shared with us. And now the second sermon's coming on. He's got a little bit of practice under his belt, and he's got rip-raring to go. And I'm excited to hear the same thing again. It will be a challenge. It was a challenge to me. I hope it's a challenge to you. So we're going to turn the rest of the service over to Saheed, and God's blessing upon you.
Brother Scott. Praise the Lord. I once read an article that really captured my attention. And it was a survey that was done about two men. The name of one was Max Jukes. He was a notorious crook. And this guy had no principles, no morals. He was somebody that you would not want to be associated with. And they were trying to find out what life is like for these people and how their offsprings would come up. And so they decided to do the survey. Max Jukes had 903 offspring. And it is said that out of these 903, 300 were delinquents. 145 were confirmed drunkards. 90 were prostitutes. 285 had evil diseases. And over 100 spent an average of 13 years in prison. But there was this other guy who was outstanding Christian, good character, good morals. He was an upright person. His name was Jonathan Edwards. And it was said that he had, among his offspring of 1394, he had 13 college presidents, 65 professors, 60 lawyers, 52 noted authors, 90 physicians, 200 ministers, and 300 good farmers. This survey, as I read the statistics, I recognize how important it is for us to be upright, for us to have good principles, for us to upkeep good moral standards and live the way God wants us to live. In this world, we are faced with so many different things that come our way, that many people fall by the way. Jesus himself said that when the sower went out to sow, some seed fell by the wayside, and some were choked of thorns, as an indication that there is going to be trouble and there is going to be trials and testings in our lives. I want to share with you this morning a few thoughts on how we can live this life, what we expect, and how we can overcome. In the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17, we read a familiar story that I guess most of you would have heard over and over and over again. The story of David facing Goliath. There is a couple of verses I want to bring to your attention. So I'm not going to read the whole scripture. I know you would have read it over and over. One of the verses that I want to point out to you is from chapter 17, verse 26. And it reads, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" This is the latter half. "That should defy the armies of the living God." Verse 29 says, David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Verse 32 says, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And verse 37 says, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." Father, we thank you this morning that we can come to worship. Our worship is to the eternal, our praise to the Most High. And we adore and glorify you, O God. We pray today in a special way that as we listen to you this morning, you will teach us how to be faithful, how to be strong, how to live in a world that is constantly bombarding us with evil of every kind. May you help us today to be able to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ had made us free. We want to give you the glory this morning for your word as you anoint feeble lips of clay and minister to our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our world, there is always two forces at work, good and evil. From the beginning of time, this has been the case. And all through history, throughout of history, we have always had these two forces of good and evil, or if you wish to say light and darkness, that has been opposing each other in the history of mankind. We have to realize as we go through this Christian life that we have a war on our hands. It's a daily fight. Of course, we might not be in a scene like David and Goliath as they stood on different banks of that, different sides of that mountain looking down into the valley. But in our society, in our world, there is always these two forces at work. And the Apostle Paul tells us in order to contend with these forces, we have to put on the whole armor of God. Make use of all the proper defenses and weapons that we have. For we are fighting not only against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And therefore, as we realize what and who we are opposing, we have to be aware of where we stand, how we stand, how we can fight. And today I want to share with you on the topic, fighting to win. First of all, in every human being, there is two parts to us. What we will call the physical aspect and the spiritual aspect. And both of these aspects are going through warfare. In the first case, every one of us, we have people that we deal with, friends, enemies. We have needs. And in all of these cases, so many different temptations and trials and testings come our way that we have to be careful that we don't give up what we stand for. That the principles and the morals that we have been taught, and that is a part of us, that God has given to us, imparted to us, that we do not let him down. Just the other night we were talking about this very country, about what is happening when the group that came to Guyana last year arrived in Guyana. We took them down to a couple of schools. They were able to go to these schools, distribute Bibles. We went to one school, they were able to pray with the teachers and the students. We still have some freedom of worship in our country. And today, when we read about what is happening all over the world, but in particular here, we recognize that the devil is indeed hard at work. And unless we as individuals, because there is no nation if there is no people, and it is you who are citizens of this country who have to take your stand and be counted. You are the ones who have to live the way God has taught you to live. When I think about all what is happening with your school system and everything else, with the lack of prayer and everything else, and Bibles and teachings, my wife, who is a retired school mistress, she was, in all her career, was able to pray with the kids almost every day. When they had exams in the school, final exams, she would go there early in the morning, just before, the invigilators would be there, and she would gather all the children together and pray with them before the exam. I wish that we'd be able to continue to do the things of God in our society as long as we can. When we read about what is happening around the world, we need to realize that we indeed have a warfare on our hands. People, even with good intentions, sometimes leads us astray. Friends, young people, peer pressure is the most efficient way that the devil works to keep us away from God. The prodigal son, his friends, they helped him to squander everything else and finish it off. And when that was done, they left him. our own needs. And here is where many people fall, because the basic needs and sometimes even the luxury that we seek after cause us to lose sight and lose focus on God. In the survey that we have read, it tells that this man was a man who would not give up anything for his God. He stood there, Jonathan Edwards, and became an outstanding Christian for God. Would you take a stand with him and say, I will never turn back. I will stay upright. I will teach my children the correct thing. I will live the way God want me to live. Then we'll be able to continue to live and please God, serve God. Then there is also the outer being, the inner being. When our friends and families and needs and everything else pressure us from the outside, we also have a warfare on the inside. Every Christian faces this. In the Church of the Nazarene, we talk about the second blessing. We talk about entire sanctification, where the root of sin is removed from our heart. Why do we need to remove that? Because that is an inherited tendency to sin. That is what we have inherited from our foreparents. It is only when God removed that, then we are able to live above sin. So beside the cares of the world, beside what is happening on the outside, Paul the apostle said, the things that I wanted to do, that is what I find myself not doing. And the things that I don't want to do, that is what I find myself doing. Why? Because there was a war within. And unless the Christian is entirely sanctified, unless the Spirit of God has removed and cleansed his heart, that fight within will not cease. We need to experience the power of God in his fullness so that we can be able to live above sin. Because it's not only a matter of we're living and having our sins forgiven. That's just the first work of grace. That's what we call initial sanctification. But we need that deeper work. We need that heart cleansing. We need a complete cleansing from within to remove what is known as the root of sin, or the carnal mind, or the old man from within, so that we can live above sin. It's called inward carnality, and we have to be prepared. If we're going to fight, we have to know what we're fighting against. If we're going to fight, we have to know where we stand. If we're going to fight, we got to know how strong we are. And unless we are completely sanctified, we will not be able to defeat the enemy. We have to get rid of carnality. The corrupt nature must be removed. And then we'd be able to stand up against Satan. Thirdly, the devil not only comes from our outside needs and associates, and from our inside desires and tendency. The devil comes also with satanic powers. As Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. They are numerous. They are vigorous. They rule in those heathen nations that are yet in darkness. In the Church of the Nazarene, there is a great focus on what we call the 1040 window. 10 degrees to 40 degrees north of the equator, where most of the heathen nations and millions of people live that haven't heard the gospel. And the devil is working overtime in those areas. When we read what is happening in Iraq, when we read what is happening in Afghanistan, when we read what is happening in Syria, just the other day we were looking at the news and saw somebody with a knife on the head of a soldier, a person who was over there. They call him a journalist. They say that he cut off his head. What is going on in our world? The devil comes in many different ways. Sometimes he transforms himself as an angel of light. At other times he is like a ravenous wolf. And we have to be prepared. Principalities and powers, those are sometimes the leaders who cause us to go astray. Those are sometimes, like in olden times, you had kings like Ahab and his wife Jezebel, who caused the children of Israel to wander away from God. But Later on, we read people like Hezekiah. They were the ones who stood up for what is right and were able to defeat the enemy, but it is still at work. We do not have Ahab situation or those kind of situation now, but the devil is very, very hard at work. The team that went to Guyana, I don't know if they have shown you the slide, the pictures of what took place there, but they were one morning in our church, in a Sunday morning, it was. And there was a case where, while the service was going on, Pastor Wayne was in the pulpit preaching, and then we had work cut out for the rest of the group. Because what? One of the young ladies at the back of the church, she was possessed. And as the devil began to cause her to just throw away, you know, she was getting on there, possessing. And then the team and some of us gathered around there and spent a whole half an hour praying for her. It's a big thing. We are fighting against not only flesh and blood, but we are fighting against principalities and powers. And the devil is out there trying to destroy God's people. And when in society like ours in Guyana, where the ethnic groups of the people, some came from India, they brought their religion, they brought their different gods worshipping. Those from Africa came with their different gods and their ways of worship. And those things are affecting even the descendants of today. Every so often in our churches, and sometimes you're not at church, you're at home, and people will call you from the street, or those who never go to church. We would like you to come and pray for this person. A demon has attacked that person, and they want us to pray for them. And we'd go over there and pray. Sometimes you pray for many days in many instances, because sometimes they're not possessed with one demon, many, many demons. Because in the worship of, especially the Hindus, they have hundreds of gods. So your team had an experience of that nature when they were down there. And this is what we have to face. Sometimes we see situations happening and we get angry with people, we get angry with neighbors, but remember, we are not only fighting against people, we're not only fighting against outward, those whom we can see, we're fighting against those whom we can't see. So, three forces we have to recognize are at work against us: our own desires and selfishness, our own needs, and then deep within us, the inner person, the being, if he is not sanctified, if our hearts are not cleansed, and then the outer forces of darkness and spiritual wickedness. We have to fight against them. But I have good news for you. God is our source of strength. God is able to help us to be victorious. That's what I said. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand. Take unto you the whole armor of God, he says, that you might be able to stand, that you can defeat the enemy. Sometimes we want to go out there and, you know, if you're going to fight, you're going to pray for somebody who is demon possessed. You got to get yourself right. You got to get yourself strong. You got to be a person of prayer. You got to be a person of faith. And the words of St. Paul in the book of Ephesians, chapter 10, chapter 6, verse 10 to 18, tells us that we have to definitely be strong in the Lord if we're going to defeat the enemy. We have to. God is our source of strength. And first of all, I want you to know, you have to discipline yourself. You have to be strong, but you have to discipline yourself. You have to make sure that you have an adequate, a strong spiritual life that is well cultivated. When you think about the army, you think about rising up every morning and doing so many hours of preparation for battle. How often do we take time off? And well, I want you to know that if we're going to go to fight the enemy, we have to be on the alert at all times. We have to always be focused. We have to always be prepared. We have to know where we stand and whom we stand in. We cannot stand in our own strength. We have to fight, be disciplined enough. Hebrews 12 verse 1 and 2 says, strip yourself of all excess baggage. Lighten yourself for the race. Put aside everything that will hinder you. And then set yourself to run the race. Are we ready to run the race? Are we ready to fight the fight? Are we prepared to go? Do we have that faith to advance into battle? Know the things of God. Know the plan of God. Know the purpose of God. Know what God has for you. Know the weapons of your warfare. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty, they are strong. Amen? Two of the hymns that call to mind right now is Ready to Serve and Dare to Be a Daniel. As I think of those two hymns, I think about people who are saying, yes, I am ready to go and fight, because fight we must. We should never ever be content to say, well, I'm a Christian. I just have enough religion to slip into heaven. What I have going to take me there? No. We have to know that God has placed us. Earlier today, I shared a little bit of the topic. Every person has a mission. And that mission can be accomplished. I want you to know today that God did not save you so that you can just enjoy the Christian life. It's a life of service to God. It's a life where you must be prepared to leave everything else. In the story that we have read earlier about David, the few verses, the father called David and said, come, I want you to go and take this food for your brother in the army. And so David, the Bible tells us, put the work that he was doing in the hands of somebody else. This is not so important now. Remember when his brother says, why are you here? Are you coming to see the battle? And he said, those words are so powerful. David said to his brother, is there not a cause? When we stand up for God, we got to stand up because it's a cause. When you're called to serve, you're called to serve because it's a cause. When God wants you to do something for Him, you're doing it not because you want to plead. Paul says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And so David hand over the sheep to somebody else to keep it. And he said, you take care of this little piece of job that I got here. I got more important things up there to do. His brother couldn't understand it. Where have you left those few sheep that we have in the field? What are you here coming up just to see you fight? And David said, no. Is there not a cause? The cause of God is so important that we must be prepared to leave everything else behind. The cause of God, it must be so important that we must prepare to sacrifice all else if we're going to be faithful to God. It is so important. Paul said, nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What he was doing for God. And what David was saying, I'm going there because God wants me to go. I'm here because the Lord sent me here. My father may have sent some food for you and for the captain, but that was only the what you can see. There was something bigger at stake here. Let me tell you something. In the church, it's much more than this church. Our brother said, our service doesn't end at the parking lot or in our homes. The cause of Christ is bigger than any one of us. The cause of Christ is so important that nothing must stand in its way. The cause of Christ is what makes us, what brought us to this earth. Every man has his mission. Whether you got 5 talents, whether you got 10 talents, whether you got 1 talent, every person has to do something for the Lord. Little David, His brothers were, when Samuel went to anoint him as king, the scripture tells us the father brought the sons. He brought the bigger ones, the stronger ones, the fighting ones, those who look like kings. He brought them before Samuel. Samuel said, none of these. Don't you have any more? He said, well, there is one, oh, that little one out there. He said, bring him. Never underestimate ordinary potential. Never underestimate the one talent that you have. Never underestimate what God can do through you. It is so important. Stand. We must not yield to the devil's allurement. David could have said, well, these guys don't want me here. I got to go back home. He had a time with the king, with the soldiers looking on, talking to them, trying to persuade them that, well, he can go and fight. They tried to talk him out of it, and he was testifying of the goodness of God. They said, well, you know, he's a man of war. You can't go and fight against him. And David began to testify. Yeah, the Lord has been good to me. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the bear. The Lord delivered me out of the paw of the lion. The Lord has done it, not me. And who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who is this unbeliever? Who is this ungodly person? Who is this man to stand and defy? He didn't say King Saul's army. He didn't say the children of Israel. What did he say? That dare to defy the armies of the living God. It's bigger than us. Our mission, our life, our service, whoever we are, it's much bigger than us. It's God's. And David saw the bigger perspective. I was reading an article not so long ago about a person. He walked by, they were building a huge cathedral, but they were just in the beginning stages at a wall. So he saw one worker working there. And he said, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing out here all by yourself? I mean, this is a hard work. He said, well, I'm working and getting $9 an hour. And he go down a little bit more, and he looked down, and he said to another one, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm making a wall. And he went down further, and he saw another one. He said, well, what are you doing here? He said, well, we are making a huge, monstrous cathedral. And sometimes we look at life and ourselves and God in different light, and all that we can see sometimes is just the cash. All that we can see sometimes is just our little job, our little piece. All that we can see sometimes is just a wall, just a part of the mission, a part of the work, a part of the church. You know, I was very impressed when Brother Scott and the others said they have been going on year after year on these mission trips. And I said, I have never heard of a church that keep doing it like that. Year after year, they make sacrifice. When I heard about what our brother is doing to raise funds, and others are working to raise funds for this, I said, praise the Lord. It's so wonderful that people can take the time and see that it is so important. Never giving up. Just preparing and going from years in advance, planning and trying to raise funds to go to work God's kingdom. Because it's not only about us. I love your church. You have a wonderful church. But when they go down there, when they help to build the little church that you saw in the picture, it's just about 20, 30 by 20 maybe. Can't accommodate many, just like a little box. Like this pulpit here is maybe about the same size. So when you go down there in Honduras or Belize or Guyana and you do something for God's kingdom, remember, it's more than you and I. That's what I'm grateful for. That's what I like. That's what I see the bigger picture. So he went up to the man who was building and he said, we're building a huge cathedral. He had in his mind eye what they were doing. One can only see the money. Next one can only see part of the project. But when I say, when we look and we see we're building the church of Jesus Christ, it's not Mifflinburg. It's not 44. It's not any part in any country. It's the church of Jesus Christ around the world. I said in the other service, whichever part of the world you go to work, you're doing God's work, and that's our business. That's our business. Paul says, take unto you the whole armor of God. Righteousness must be, he said, our breastplate. The breastplate secures the vital. The breastplate speaks of the important organs of our body. And I think Paul had in mind that this is so important. He mentioned it in such a way that we must realize how important it is. Righteousness. And we can only be righteous if God has done that work in our hearts. We can only be righteous, not by our own strength, not by our own means. Righteousness is imputed to us. God is the one who must work the work within before here can be righteous. The breastplate, the covering on the outside, the inner man must be righteous. You know, I like the Beatitudes, because whilst all the teachings tell you about what and how you should do, the Beatitudes tell you what you should be. Right? Being what God wants you to be. Righteous, holy, pure, undefiled, outstanding character. That's what God wants us to be, so that we can be workers in His kingdom, so that we can be standing up for Him, so that we can be the type of soldiers He wants us to be in His army. I can picture David as he stood there that day. The Bible says all the people who were, the soldiers who were there, who considered themselves as the important soldiers, they were running when they saw Goliath. But David said, I will go and fight him. Why? Because David did not trust in himself. He trusted in the Lord. And if we're going to be righteous, we can't trust in ourselves. We got to trust in God. Only God can make us righteous. Only God can make us pure and holy. I'm going to just touch a couple of them because time is going. And faith. Faith is important. If you don't have faith, you cannot be a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Faith must be our shield. Faith must be the thing that will keep us safe. Faith must be that which will help us and propel us forward. David had so much faith in God that he was able to tell all the soldiers. I mean, it was a real powerful testimony to stand there in front of King Saul, to stand there in front of his brothers, to stand there in front of the whole army, and to say, the Lord who deliver me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of this man's hand. You got to get complete faith in God. You got to get complete trust in God to say words like that. It was words like that that Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego tried to say. I say tried to say because, you know what they said? They had a little bit of doubt with them, you know. But they were willing to stand up. They said, the God whom we serve, he will deliver us. But even if he doesn't deliver us, we will not bow down. But David is using complete confidence. David is showing faith to the maximum. There is no doubt in this. There is no fear in this. There is not. He's saying, he will deliver me. This is a must. It will come to pass. God is going to do it. It's not me. And he exemplified that in his words to Goliath. He said, you come to me with a sword. You come to me with a spear. You come to me with a shield that is so big I can't even hold the spear. He said, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, whose army you have defied today. I'm not coming to you in my own strength. I'm not coming to you in the strength of the Israelites. They are scared. They're ready to run away. But I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. That's the faith that we must have if we're going to defeat the enemy. That's the faith we must have if we're going to stand up for Jesus. That's the faith we must have if we want to live a victorious Christian life. This is the victory over the world, even our faith. Prayer. Like I said, I'm going to skip a couple of them. Prayer is so important. I already spoke a little bit about it. That if we're going to pray, and if we're going to go to fight for God, we have to have prayer. We must be involved in prayer. And prayer is so important, yet so little emphasis is placed on prayer. In most churches that I know, the Wednesday evening prayer meeting is the least attended service at the church. People don't see it as important. But that's the powerhouse of the church. That's the group that spend time praying. Well, you might have a different day, I don't know. But in our church, we have Wednesday evening as the time of prayer. And it's a time when we can get together and solidify our faith in God. When we can call upon Him and we can place everything in His hands and we can depend totally upon Him so that during the rest of the week, we can enjoy His presence and His power in our lives. Prayer is very important. And thirdly, winning with God. Fight to win. We must not for one moment think about this Christian life as a life that we're going to lose. David didn't have it in his mind. He said, "The Lord will deliver me out of your hand." He had no thought of losing. His complete being was in that frame of mind. He had all his concentration focused upon God, who will be there for him, who will stand with him, who will be able to help him in this situation. Whatever situation you're going through, some young people might be going to college, some might be seeking partners in life, some might be looking for jobs, some of my older folks might be sick. Whatever problems you're going through, I want you to have complete confidence in God, that God can help you. And God will bring you through. And God, as I sat there and I listened to the reading of the scripture this morning, the first part of it, it was about God being our help, our shelter, our strength, our deliverer, the one whom we can trust in. He's the one who said, "Call upon me in the time of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." In Psalms 50 and verse 15. Winning with God. It's not about losing. We must always know that we are victorious. Paul says, "You are more than conquerors, overcomers." We have some songs that we sing about that in our churches. We are overcomers. We are victorious. We are those who will win. We might lose some battle sometime, but we will surely win the war. Surely, Paul, David said, "You come to me with a sword." And I said it earlier, the weapons of our warfare, what we are fighting with, beloved, is not carnality. What we are fighting with is not physical. All our weapons, Paul named them, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, prayer, all of our weapons. None of those did Paul ever say, "You can hold one in your hand." They're not physical. But they are mighty. And David knew about that long before Paul. And I thank God that we have His word, that we can know about it every single day of our lives. That our weapons, the things that we fight Satan with, they are not carnal, they are not physical, they are not material, but they are mighty. The word of God, the Bible says, is strong, double-edged sword. Our weapons are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. The enemy that we have to fight, remember I said, is not only the outside enemy, it's not only the inside enemy, but is the prince of the power of the air. The satanic forces, but yet we can win. We must fight to win. We must be good soldiers. We must be those who will be able to stand up and be counted. Hebrew 11 declared the Hall of Famers. Talks about Abraham and Jacob and Isaac. Talks about Gideon. Talks all those men and women who took their stand for God, who had faith in God, who knew that God can help them and deliver them and set them free from whatever is troubling them. This morning I want to encourage you. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ had made you free. Paul said to Timothy, he said, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ," in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Endure hardness as a good soldier. How are we fighting this morning? Are we good soldiers? Are we outstanding Christians? Are we men and women that can be counted on? Are we people that God can rely on and God knows and hear and answer prayers? Are we those people that God can say, "I know him"? When God spoke about Job to Satan, he said, "I know Job. He will not turn against me. No matter what you do to him, he will not." He even challenged him. We can have that kind of faith in God and be determined and know that we will fight to win, and we can fight to win, then definitely we can defeat the enemy. Not only a soldier, but a good one. Paul said, "Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." On Stephen's death day, the day that he died, he said, "I see the heavens open." Remember the major forces at play in our world. It's not physical. Who set neighbors against neighbors? Who set brothers against brother? Every time we read in the scripture, when you read about Cain and Abel, it wasn't, when you read about Eve sinning, it wasn't about people. It was the evil one working in people. And sometimes we get angry and we hate people for what they're doing. But God never wanted it to be that way. We are fighting a battle against the evil one. And we need to recognize our enemy. And when we recognize our enemy, recognize our strength also, that we can defeat him. Stephen recognized, David recognized, these men knew what it was to serve God, what it was to stand up for God, what it was to live for God, what it was to overcome. And you and I can overcome in this Christian life. God is our source of strength. He is the one who will strengthen us, who will keep us, and who will help us. Would you stand with me this morning for a word of prayer? Is it all right, Brother Scott, if I prayed with you? It's all right. Our Father, we thank you today, because in this church this morning, we recognize that, Lord, you are the source of our strength. You are the power. You are, Lord, our offensive and defensive weapons. Only you can help us to be victorious. Every saint in the scriptures who took their stand for you, Lord, were successful because you were there with them. As David stood before Goliath the day and advanced towards him, it must have been a fearful sight to the ordinary person. It must have looked surely uneven. As one man over 9 feet tall, armed to the teeth, and a little young man walking up to him. But the Lord saveth not by numbers. And the Lord is our strength. And faith is the victory that overcometh the world. I pray this morning, God, for your people today. Those who may be going through crisis in their lives. Those who are going through special needs, those, O Lord, who are seeking for your blessings in their lives, whatever form, O God, I want to bring them to you. But most of all, Lord, I'm praying today that in this gathering, we know that they are outstanding Christians. And we know that, Lord, you will help others to become powerful, outstanding, holy people that will make a mark, that will become Hall of Famers like those in Hebrews chapter 11. And so, Father and God, I'm praying today that you will strengthen their faith, empower them. Let them know, O God, that you are with them each step of the way. May your Holy Spirit fill their hearts and abide continually with them from this day forth and even forevermore. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much. And over back to Pastor Scott.